Praise God. Praise God, Teresa. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Fruitland Baptist Church, and welcome to our time to honor our great God in heartfelt worship. It's good to see a nice group out today. Even despite the rain and so forth, we've had a little bit of technical difficulties already this morning. We just pray that God will bind Satan's hands and that, again, we'll be able to worship him in spirit and in truth. I want to welcome all of you here today. It's always a great day to gather. Amen. Amen. And a great day to praise God. So let's do that. Let's begin with that this morning as we still see people coming in the doors. We pray that there will be more. Let's stand, if you're able, either in your hymnal, hymn number 448, or on our screen this morning if everything is working, finally. But we're going to sing about our Savior's love. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Here we go. Let's sing to the Lord.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh,
isn't it a wonderful thing about the Lord today? Let's give him the glory today. He sure does love us.
For me it was in the garden, but thine, he had no tears for his own grief, sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall end. How wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sin and my sorrows. Oh, the burden to Calvary, and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, will be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Marvelous, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love.
Let's remain standing for our invocation. Father, we do stand amazed in your presence. We thank you today that you're with us here. And Lord, we want to acknowledge today how wonderful you are. We cannot even comprehend your goodness that's manifested toward man in your love, in your charity that you have for us in our plight of sin. So, Lord, today we do extol all your virtues. We want to let you know that we recognize you indeed are an awesome and mighty God, Lord of lords, King of kings. And today, Father, we ask that you would, again, continue to be patient with us and to continue to give us grace and mercy, O Lord, in our plight. But we want to let you know today that we love you, Lord. And I pray today for all the folks that have come through these doors and yet for some that may be coming. Lord, for our community, for the events that have taken place both today and in the days preceding this one, Lord, none of these things are by mistake, and we know that all things are under your care and control. Lord, we think today of people that may be struggling, and we know that you are the one who has all the answers, and you are the great physician that can heal all the effects of our weaknesses that are caused by sin. We pray for our community today. We pray for those of our regular attenders that are gone today, whether they be on vacation or that are ill. We know several, Lord, in our number that have had critical ailments this week. I lift Zelpha before your throne today and thank you that you have preserved her life and are allowing her to recover physically. And yet, Lord, I realize there are many that are ill spiritually today. Our community, Lord, help us in our outreach efforts. Help us to be a shining reflection of your glory, the light of your glory to this community around us. Now, Lord, as we proceed today with heartfelt worship, may this be a time that pleases you because it's all about you, Lord. And we acknowledge that. And we, again, are thankful to be assembled together this day as the local church for the purpose that you have ordained. And we'll operate today, Lord, with that thought in mind. And may you guide us and direct us in every step. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated this morning. Now, realize I have not seen some of you for a while, and you, I hope, enjoyed your vacation from Kim and I for a Sunday. So, and I won't say that we enjoyed it from you. We always miss you. But it isn't always bad to be apart once in a while, because then we become more appreciative when we get back together. We have a few folks visiting with us today, some folks from distant places. Yes. Roland. I got it right this time. And others that may be visiting from more local areas, but we're glad for everyone that's come through these doors today, and I trust that you'll feel welcome here at Fruitland Baptist. Well, I don't know if we have another hymn or not. It's blank. Does someone know more than I do on the next one? Jeff, we have one.
No, I just wondered if it was on the screen, but there's not.
I don't know. Well, we're going to skip a hymn this morning. So, this morning we're going to go right to announcements and offerings, and those are announcement and offering, and those are found, well, let me start over today. I have been on vacation, right? For only 2 days, but it has its effects. Oh, by the way, the church that Kim and I attended last week in Des Moines is on your back bulletin board. We always prove out that we went, that we did not play hooky, and you'll be able to see where we went. But right now, we're going to focus on announcements, and also we're going to pray for the gift and giver regarding our offerings. We do not pass a plate. Again, today, we never ask anyone to do anything. God may ask you to do something, and we know that his word governs our giving back to him, but there are receptacles at the back of the auditorium for those gifts as you have been directed by God, and there is much in his word, and I preach on that from time to time. But we trust God for all of our operations here at Fruitland Baptist Church. We never ask for anything, but God freely gives, and I thank him for that today. Anyway, either on the screen or on the right-hand side of your bulletin, we'll get right down to business on the announcements. This evening, why would anyone want to join a church? I'm sure that question has gone through a lot of our minds. Well, this will be part three tonight, Lord willing, where we'll try to answer some of those questions, but also about what happened in the early days of the church and why we have some of the turmoil that we do today in our local churches. And there's answers in God's word for all concerned. Also today at 4:30, there's a men's retreat meeting. I have not emphasized this as I should, but today, if you're interested, this is an outreach on the 24th and 25th of September. We're going to have a bunch of old trucks, equipment, cars. You bring anything that's old. If it's your wife or your husband, we'll find a place to park them. But Earl Swigert is going to be our speaker. The focus of this is gearheads in the gospel. So if you like messing around with old equipment, engines, anything old, bring them. We'll have a spot here. And we're going to have some food on Saturday, but we're going to have feeding from the word. That's the key thing. Both Friday evening and Saturday in the morning. Also some seminars. If you're a gearhead, you want to learn how to work on a carburetor, different things like that, there'll be probably 3 seminars. But we need help, and this is a big outreach for Fruitland and can be very profitable. So I'd like to really encourage you to come today at 4:30. We're beginning to get into the nitty-gritty of this, and I think you will not be sorry if you're involved. And there's no hard work involved in it. Truly, there's not. I think it'll all be with joy. There's a lot of positives about this if you're interested in reaching people for Jesus Christ. And are you? I am. Amen. I hope you are too, because that's what really God wants, isn't it? Anyway, that's one thing that's coming this year. Also, don't forget, I just have to take a moment. Institute for Creation Research at Thanksgiving time. That'll be a big Sunday, and we need to be preparing for that, both in prayer and in physical preparations. That will be a very nice seminar on that Sunday before Thanksgiving. So that will be publicized heavily. Also, anyway, there's many things that can be done for the men's retreat. Communion tonight as well, and that's very important. Next VBS meeting is July 24th from 11 to 2. If you're interested in people and children in particular for the Lord, our Vacation Bible School, August 9th through the 13th. These are some flyers that you can place on doors. They're all set to slip over a knob. It's better, though, that you knock and talk to people or wherever you go. But there's information here and a way to register young people. Lisa Garrison, who is not here today. I have some of these already, but these are available, and it's none too soon to begin to present those. And so there is a door-to-door invite on the 24th, and August 6th, 7th, and 8th is to decorate the classrooms from 6 to 8 p.m. Women's Bible Study, August 14th at 10 a.m. Wilton Bible Study on the 22nd, that would be 2 weeks from last Thursday, Presbyterian Church Basement, 6 o'clock. This is very important next Sunday, a child worker training class at 4:30. Yes, Beth. You may have changed that yesterday.
Well, yeah, July 24th, because Vacation Bible School, so we'll, I'm going to send out a text about our Bible study, so it will not be on the 24th.
Okay.
The next one. And then the August 14th is incorrect, so I'll be sending out a text to the ladies.
Okay.
To get that straight out.
Did everyone get that? I sure ask God to bind Satan's hands. We have confusion here sometimes at Fruitland, but Beth would be your go-to person for women's Bible studies. While the Wheelers are gone, I or Doug would be your go-to person for men's Bible studies, but that will continue. We had one yesterday, so every other Saturday, unless there's a change, okay? All right, now where was I? Oh, yeah, fruit. No, I technically Muscatine. This is really important next Sunday afternoon. If you don't come for the class, you can't work with Sunday school or VBS or any children activities. It's just that simple. We just can't do it again, and so make every effort to come. It's very simple. You don't have to pass a test. Just come and participate and sign your name on the line. Deb's got a note in here. Denny and I will be gone. Kathy will fill in for me. That's Jeff Hendricks's wife, Kathy. Kathy is not able to get around a lot. If there are needs, you'll have to call. We'll have to get along the best we can. The Wheelers will be gone probably 6 to 7 weeks. And as it says here, check with me about men's Bible study or Doug. And then you see my thought for the week this week. And are there any other announcements that we need to make today? We could almost make a sermon out of the announcements. Anything? All right. With that in mind, then, let's shift gears just a little bit now again as we prepare our hearts for worship and for study in the Word of God. And also for, yes, Marilyn.
Gene Rock is supposed to have a special. It says that.
Yeah, it's coming up.
We'll get to it if Gene's ready. But thank you, Marilyn. Anything else you'd like to keep us up on here? Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. We will not forget Gene Rock. And let me just say another thing. Jeff Hendricks told me this morning there's a turtle out in our yard. So you always want to remember this when you come to Fruitland. But what actually was it, Jeff, when we went out? And I thought it was, too.
It really looked like it from the window. And it had a jagged edge, looked like a snapper turtle. I went out, and it was a big leaf.
So be careful here at Fruitland. There you go. Okay, now, is there anything else? Oh, and there's Lisa. So here's the gal you talked to that I just referred to a little bit ago. Where were we now? We need to adjust our hearts at this time. A time for meditation. I'll have a brief prayer. The ladies are going to play. And again, this is to acknowledge both the gift and the giver, but also our great Savior. But let's prepare our hearts then for the feeding from the Word at this time. Shall we pray together? Our Father in heaven, what a thing it is when we consider a day And Lord, the fact that we are moving rapidly towards an end point. And that end point, in one way or another, for everyone in this room, is going to be to see your face. We'll see it one of two ways: when you welcome us into heaven, and Lord, when, if we do not know you and apart from you, we will see your face at the judgment seat of Christ. Or the great white throne judgment, excuse me, at Christ is the judge. Whereby we can claim all we can about what we've done. But ultimately, Lord, we understand it's what you have done. It's your works that allow us to be saved from the penalty of sin and destined for eternity with you. Lord, I don't think there's any choice if we really come down and look at things. The lake of fire is not an option. But sadly, Lord, many will choose that option. But that is not your will. And I thank you that you provided a way through your work on Calvary's cross. Now, Lord, as we focus on you today and your goodness, let us also understand, as I mentioned in this prayer, that while your grace is sufficient and your mercy enduring, it is not without end for those that fail to seek your face. So help us, Lord, today to see you clearly in your eyes and to clearly understand where we are. Now, I thank you for the opportunity that presented itself today once again to give from a material venue back to you, Lord. But we acknowledge today this all came from you anyway. It's yours. We're just here, Lord, as stewards of the grace of God. Now, may you bless today the giver and the heart. And, Lord, may you help us all. We're needy. And, Lord, help us to focus on you clearly now as we look into your word. Now, I pray these things and thank you, Lord, once again for our gathering today. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Thank you so much, ladies. Marilyn, it's time to announce Gene. Where is he? Oh, right here. Go ahead, Marilyn. And now? All right.
Thank you, Merlin. Appreciate that. One of the pieces I'll play, I have decided to follow Jesus. And that happened about 70 years ago. And the Lord has blessed me in many, many ways. And thank him for every day that he has watched over each and every one of you. I'll try to make it short. Sometimes I get carried away, and so bear with me if I drift into other things. That's just who I am.
Thanks, Gene, for that great encouragement today. Can I ask you the make and model today? Is that a different one than last?
This is different. This is called a 64 Super X. It's a little expensive one. I won't tell you what it costs, but it costs more than $10, I'll tell you that.
But it's worth it, right, Gene?
It's worth it to me.
Yeah. So. Love you, Gene. Thanks again. Yeah. Yeah, that was great.
I thank you for allowing me to.
Hey, you know, I don't run the show here. It's the Lord.
Well, again, at my age, I'm running a little bit short of air, and I'm getting a little harder to see. So that's one thing about a harmonica. If you can't really see, you can still play.
There you go, Gene. Hey, never worry about age because, you know, Moses didn't get going until he was 80, and his older brother Aaron, 83.
Well,
so you're right in those.
I'm over that.
Yeah,
so.
But you're in the season of the good stuff, Gene.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pastor.
Love you, Gene. Yeah. Praise God. Okay. Well, I'm excited to be back in the pulpit today, and I do thank Denny for filling in for me last week. And it's good to see a nice group out this morning. It's always exciting to see others that are interested in Jesus Christ. And I want to give a little disclaimer this morning before we start that this message may last up to 3 weeks. And some of you already know that that happens with me often. I struggle with that because there is so much in this book that we need to be talking about and to be looking into and to be exploring in our lives. But I promise you we will be done on time. The trustees have threatened to install a trapdoor with linkage that goes to the back somewhere that when it gets too long, they pull the lever and down I go. But I'll try to circumvent that yet today, and we'll be done on time. And what we don't get done today, we'll do what? Just like out on the farm, you go to bed every day. I look every day and at things out there and I say, oh, this and that. I mean, the list grows longer that needs done. But I still say we'll have to approach it when? When we get to it tomorrow, if we have tomorrow. And that kind of thing isn't a priority, really, in our lives, is it? I mean, it's important, but the priority is the Lord, because we don't know that we'll have tomorrow, but we better know that we'll have eternity with Jesus, right? So that's what's important. Well, this morning, the title of our message that may be multiple part is How Low Can It Go? How low can it go? Now, probably some of you are thinking about the word limbo this morning and the game, the stick. By the way, limbo is a Roman Catholic term, in case you did not know that. And it has to do with purgatory, which is a false teaching. But let me say this today, you are not in limbo today. You have a choice to make. And you do not have to wonder what will happen, because you can know what can happen to your eternal destiny of your soul today. And you have a choice today to make, whether it would be in the presence of Jesus Christ or if you choose to go to the lake of fire. And so we are not in limbo. The choices are very clear, and we want you to know that today. That's what the Bible teaches. It's not what I teach, but I do teach the Bible, or I attempt to. But I give you along with this my usual disclaimer about myself. I don't endorse any pastors or preachers, including myself. You are all responsible, and I am responsible to investigate it from the Word of God. And so we always operate with that. We are not off the hook before the Lord. And it's very important what we do with His Word. So today we're going to look at a classic, and for the days to come, Lord willing, we're going to look at a classic example of how far things can slide in this old world. And that's the classic example of Sodom and Gomorrah, two cities that God destroyed. The basis of our message will be found in Genesis 18 and 19, whether you have a paper Bible or your device today. But we may not get there until we're almost done. We'll have to see how things go, because that's how it works with me. We go down the trail, and we'll cover it the best we can, however we can. By the way, there's no PowerPoint or note sheets today. I think we need to take a vacation for the summer. Bring your own paper, bring your own pencil, or your laptop, or your iPad, or whatever. Take some notes. I always think this, the notes that I take are better than what anyone has ever given me. Because you'll get the things that you want to hear out of that, and it does help to record those things either through the fingertips on the keys or through a writing device. Anyway, I greet you in Jesus' name. Let's go to prayer, and we'll hit the ground running. Father, what a great day it is, and what a nice group we have out today. I pray, Lord, again, and we'll learn this as we study in the evenings here about the church, but it's a blessing to come and gather with the saints. And Lord, today we know that you prosper those that are interested in your institution of the church and in its work. And I pray that that be the case for all that are here today. Lord, I do again reemphasize, if there be any in our number today who are in limbo or are not sure of their destiny, that we are not in limbo because we're either headed one place or the other according to your book. And I pray today, Lord, we would consider that very carefully as we are all either one breath or one heartbeat from eternity. So I thank you, Lord, that you've made provision through your work on the cross. And now, Lord, as we look into your grace and mercy today, we would never take anything for granted. Lord, I'm going to be careful how I illustrate that, but I pray, Lord, your grace and mercy might continue. Because, Lord, quite frankly, I'm not ready to enter into eternity today either. And what I mean by that, I do know you as my Lord and Savior, but none of us are ready for that day to come. There's lots of undone things that need accomplished. And so, Lord, let us pray that your grace and mercy may continue. But with that said, Lord, we know that it is not infinite, at least when it comes to sin. And there is action that you will take, again, to try to get our attention. So I pray today this message, Lord, and the text that we look at, the words that I speak might be found acceptable in your sight. And you know, again, Lord, the person standing up here, not capable, weak, unproductive, whatever you might say, but Lord, today only through the power of the Spirit, helping this poor fool, can this be used for your glory. But I ask that it would be, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends in Christ, if I asked us all today, have you tested the limits of God's grace and mercy, how would you respond? I'll take a few responses if you want to give them. But if you don't, I will give mine. And the answer to that for all of us should be yes. Well, how can you say that, Pastor? God puts up with a lot of things. Yes, he does, because of his grace and mercy. But the fact of the matter is, we're all deserving of what? Eternal death because of our sin. Folks, that's the bottom line. There are many texts and scriptures that we could refer to, but I'll just refer today to part of Romans 3, verses 10 through 12, which the summation of that tells us that there is none righteous, no, not one. That word righteous just simply means right. We're all defective here today before God's throne. We've been made whole by the blood of Christ if you're saved, but we're not right, and we are undeserving. God's word says that even at our very best, we are still unprofitable. Folks, we are only here and operating today by God's grace and mercy. Never take that for granted. And I'm thankful that, as I mentioned in the prayer, that it is still apparent beyond our comprehension, making us who have been saved by it aware, again, that when we continue in our sin and down the wrong path, we are gambling with God's continual grace and mercy that we are willingly expecting him to cover our grace. Folks, the fact of the matter is that Paul tells us about that very question. He says, even though we're covered by the blood of Christ, should we go on and sin the more? And you know how Paul answers that in the King James Version. He says, may God forbid that we do that. Sin should not be the goal of the life of the believer, or continual sin. But we should be seeking the Savior and his help to help us through the power of the Word and the Holy Spirit to control that desire in our hearts, that we would again desire to become more like Jesus Christ rather than more like the world and with God's adversary, Satan. So Paul says, no, we don't really have, even though God is gracious, we should not test his limits. We should stop today and we should turn to the Lord Jesus and not continue on in our sin and tread upon his grace and his mercy. So the question then is begged this morning in the title and so forth, how far will God go with a person or a nation before the limits of his grace and mercy are tested? What do you think about that? Do you think the Bible gives some examples about that? Well, it certainly does. It certainly does, and we're going to look at some of that this morning. It gives parameters. But folks, I believe it's important that we assume nothing, for we have no right to put God to the test. Isn't that what the Bible says? He has a right, and he has that privilege to do whatever he desires. We cannot hold him accountable for what he has done in the past. We cannot base doctrine on what he has done in the past about this very issue, because he has a right to do as he sees fit without our permission. Amen? We cannot hold him accountable. You know, Jesus told Satan, as he was being tested by Satan, you know, there in the wilderness, to not put the Lord thy God to the test. And so, in effect, when we continue to tread on God's grace and mercy, well, in some ways, we're thinking just like Satan. We're saying, well, he hasn't done anything to me in the past, and I'm going to assume that he won't in the future. Folks, that's satanic, dangerous thinking. God's grace, while it is sufficient and it is unmeasurable, is not necessarily what? Without end. His grace and mercy. And we don't want to forget that today. This is a great God we're dealing with. God's been benevolent, as we already have understood. None of us deserve anything. But God has seen fit to be good to us above and beyond measure. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "For the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" If you think America is bad today, folks, and I know some of us were thinking that when we thought about that title, and that was in the back of my mind as well, as God laid that on my heart. And I think America is not too good today, but let me tell you something, folks, get ready, because it could get a lot worse. Because God's grace may continue to remain with America. But you know what? The sad thing about that, and it could run out for America too, but I know one thing, we've sure seen his blessings blown right before our very eyes. You agree with that today? And yet, he continues to work with us to this very moment. So the bottom line with all this is, never count out anything that God might do. It's like that old guy that worked for me at the barrel plant years ago from Arkansas. He was mad. You've heard that story before. He came in my office. He said, "I'm just an old boy from Arkansas. You never know what I might do." And I took him seriously. But God tells us he's usually slow to anger and he's slow to act. But never put the Lord thy God to the test. Amen. And we better remember that today, both personally, Pastor John, and as a nation. We better get it right with him today and understand how he works. Well, the Bible gives several examples. Probably many of you have thought of some while I've been babbling here, of God's grace running out, does it not? And one of those is Sodom and Gomorrah. And we will revisit that, Lord willing, today. For an indication, though, of how low it can go before God acts, we will look at that example this morning of Sodom and Gomorrah specifically. And I need to sneeze. Will it be allowed? Thank you. God's grace and yours to allow me to do that. What do they say about sneezing? You never leave your eyes open, is that right? Didn't they tell you that, Kim, at the doctor one time? When you had your surgery on your eyes, don't sneeze with your eyes open? I don't think it can be done, by the way. Check me out. But anyway, allow me to give some examples about God's grace and mercy and what is known as the long-suffering of God. First of all, let's define this. Grace is what? Undeserved, unmerited favor. Mercy is what? Not giving us what we deserved. Compassion. That might be something you want to jot down today. Grace and mercy, the definitions of both. So that's how God operates in his grace and mercy. So this morning, let's explore a few things about that as we consider how low can it go. I'd like you to turn to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. This is probably a familiar set of verses, just briefly as we explore this before we get into the meat of the issue. Book of Lamentations was written by a guy named who? Jeremiah. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. Why was he crying? He was crying over the country that he was, the nation that he was sent to prophesy to for God about their impending destruction. Because Israel was a nation that fits into this category as a whole, and God has not yet totally destroyed Israel, but he's put Israel through some difficult things because of their what? their unbelief, the fact that they did not want to follow him. Jeremiah was pretty sad about this because he went through a lot, didn't he? And yet the people would not listen to him. He was pleading with Israel. This was a low point in Israel where Jeremiah was at. And this is what he wrote in Lamentations 3 in verses 19 through 24. I'd like to revisit those just quickly here this morning to understand the tenor, okay, of where Jeremiah was at in this situation. By the way, we don't fully understand that yet here in America. I don't think where we can be at when God's judgment comes upon a nation. In case you wondered what I think at the very least God's blessing has been removed from America. But I personally think his judgment is upon this nation. We'll see how this all happens. Even in this all the stimulus and all these things that are coming about now, I think I'll predict, and I'm no prophet, but I'll predict that the end result of that is that things won't change much and will continue to decline. And that's how it is when a nation is not being blessed by God. And we'll see. And you can come back and say, I told you so, Pastor. You were wrong. Remembering mine affliction, Jeremiah writes, 19 of chapter 3 here, and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Jeremiah loved the Lord, and Jeremiah still loved Israel. This I recall to mind, therefore, have I hope. Jeremiah said, even in the depths of the despair of what's taken place, I am not without hope. And I want us to focus here. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are what? And that's the key. What's he mean there by consumed? He means destroyed. Used up. Spent. Finished up. Don't ever forget that. It's because of God's mercies that Israel wasn't totally obliterated in the past. And let me tell you, you can look at the example of Israel to this very day. She has been persecuted. Even though she was reborn as a state with borders in 1948, the borders have changed, by the way, Israel yet today has not come back to her Lord, only individually. But my friends, there will be a time in the future, and I believe it's during the tribulation period, that God will regather Israel as a nation of people that in a large perspective and in larger numbers will receive him as their Messiah, the one that was promised to them all those years ago that they have scorned. Israel will not be destroyed ultimately, but they will pay a heavy price and have paid a heavy price for their disobedience to God. And so Jeremiah says it's because of his mercies, because of his compassion that never fails, that we are still operating today. Don't forget that, America. God's grace is still apparent. And notice what Jeremiah said there in verse 23. They are new every morning. Great is thy, or your, faithfulness, O Lord. You know, I've mentioned this many times to you folks and to Kim, but the rising and setting of the sun every day shows God's faithfulness and his grace and his mercy. Jeremiah saw that. He saw that early in the morning. He had known that God was still faithful to what he said and what he did and what he had in love for his people. And that goes on up to this day. Well, you can read through the rest of this text, but understand here, we're only continuing to operate because of God's grace and his mercy. And folks, Israel was a good example to look at. Now, they deserved to be consumed, but they weren't. And folks, help us to remember this as well, that we really have no right to complain. How many of you in this room today are complainers? You don't have to acknowledge that to each other, but Kim will tell you. Kim can tell you a lot about me. Yes, I do complain. But complaining, again, is a symptom of unthankfulness. And it's a rejection of God's mercy and grace. We have no right to complain about anything. If your back hurts today, don't complain. Because you know what? We should have been experiencing back pain in hell for eternity. See, when we start to think about these things, it gives us a new perspective, doesn't it? a spiritual perspective, an eternal perspective versus a temporal or a fleshly perspective. We deserve punishment, but God gave us His mercy and His grace. Now, folks, I do have to have a little interlude here before I go further, but I've danced around this already this morning, and that's pretty tough in a Baptist church to dance. We live in a nation that not only condones sin, but also proudly promotes it. By the way, I know this is going out on the airwaves, and I really don't care. Because I don't not love people. But God does not love sin. Neither should I endorse it or love it. But understand, in America, and America has never been perfect, but the persuasion of our nation has changed in the last 20 years or so specifically to where we now condone and encourage sin. You know, Kim and I marched on the courthouse. I had some interaction with someone this week about that. God never ordained governments for only two purposes: to promote the good and to restrain evil. I'll say no more about that, but you can think about that. And I still find it interesting that our county was so concerned that two elderly people like Kim and I, and who would ever get upset with a sweet lady like Kim? Now, I'm a little different. Why would we warrant an unmarked police car's presence as we legally picketed our courthouse? And it was cold that day. By the way, no one brought us coffee. I've let a few people know about that. But folks, we just passed out of a month here in America that is now known as Gay Pride Month. I'm going to use the term homosexuality. Okay? Well, that's what it is. And I stand here fully ready to talk about that. But folks, that is a choice of lifestyle. And I want to tell you today, because I believe this, that people are becoming more... and by the way, it's probably likely every person in here has family members or other associations that deal with this choice of sinful lifestyle. Now, I know someone in the corner is going to... No, I don't mean that literally. Someone's going to say, "Why are you just focusing on that?" No, we all have sin issues. By choice. I'm not just picking on that one. But you'll get the point that I'm coming to here in a minute. Because it did have a central focus on this place called Sodom and Gomorrah. But here's the thing, folks. Let me just say this. Because I think I still have a right of free speech here in America. Even though I kind of doubt those rights. Because our Constitution really doesn't apply to everyone today. It's only applied when it works out or if you have enough money to fight your battle. And in many cases today in America, you're guilty till you prove yourself innocent. If you even can, in our court system. Do I need to repeat that for the on-air audience? You know already when I go to the courthouse, I always ask the people to position me right under the cameras. Security cameras, so they're sure to hear what I have to say. I don't think I'd win an election for supervisor here in Muscatine County. But if I ever were to run, I believe there'd be a funeral soon after. No, someone asked me about that one time. I said, no, it won't be someone else. It'll be who? It'll be me. That's the environment we live in today, my friends. But the gay lifestyle, in case you wondered, is a tragic lifestyle. And you know what? We've legislated throughout time all kinds of things. We had prohibition. 30, 40 years ago, you go out on the street or into places, people were smoking. And we've done what with that? We've said that's immoral, that cannot be done. I'm not going to argue about that today. But folks, we've also taken things that used to be declared immoral and made them moral. But let me just say this, God's morality will never change. I was going to preach this next week, but as you know already, we haven't even got started. But sometime look up Amos 7. It's called God's plumb line. That's what God showed Amos. You know, the way God operates is square with the world. You know, a building that's built, and you know if it's not been built square, or the way, when you drop a plumb line, every time you're going to have right angles that you can come at with that line, and things will focus with God. God's never changed. He's not going to. His word's not going to. But that lifestyle, what I was getting back to is, that lifestyle is an expensive lifestyle. Not only are people's lives considerably shortened that are involved in it, but their medical and their health issues are much more difficult, and it's costly to your insurance company or to the taxpayer. It's not what God would have. But let me say unequivocally, God still loves all people. And we should love all people. But we have to speak clearly. Because you see, for all of our sins, whether it's overeating or homosexuality, and I'm going to tell you right now, overeating is not a good choice either. You can go right down the line. Any sin is costly. But understand, how long will God's grace continue? How long will God's grace continue with my improper diet? We don't want to tread on the mercies and grace of God with our sin. Doug, you got 1 minute, and then we're going to move. That's pretty much accurate. Of course, our closets at home are so full we can't get into them. But there is one closet we should go into, Christians. Thank you. Thank you, Doug, but I agree with you on that. But here's the thing, folks. We have a month assigned to pride. Now, I probably got in trouble with you a while back, you know, about Memorial Day. Where's the Memorial Day for Jesus? I know, communion and thing, and for his martyrs. There is a Martyr's Day, but you don't hear much about it. It's not even on most of the calendars. But here's the thing, folks. We condone a month like that in our nation. Where are people standing up with pride for Jesus? Well, you say, well, pride's a sin. No, it's not in Jesus. It's not in Jesus. Because you know what? Why are we not vocal about our Savior? Why are we not brave enough to stand up for Jesus when he hung for us? 1 Corinthians 1:31 and many others, Paul wrote this type of a thing, or others, authors in the Bible. Paul wrote, though, in that case, he says, that according as it is written, he that glorieth or boasts, let him glory or boast in the Lord. See, 1 month won't do it for Jesus. But every day is a good start. What do you think? Our pride should not be in ourselves or in any accomplishment that God, by his grace and mercy, has allowed us to do, but it should be in Jesus Christ alone, to the glory of God the Father. Our pride should be in the merits of our Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, 1 Peter 3:20. 1 Peter 3:20. Some more examples. Is everyone okay? I don't have a lot of time for counseling this week if someone's upset about the messages. I do for other reasons, but... And the complaint department has been expanded. It's now open 45 minutes a week, but we still don't post the times. So you never know. You have to show up and hope it's open. 1 Peter 3:20. Another example. Apostle Peter writes here, he says, which sometime, you can read before that, we preached in this text on Resurrection Sunday, wondering where Jesus went after he was placed in the tomb and where his spirit went. And this text helped to explain some of that. He went to paradise. And, he went to paradise, but he also went into Hades, the grave, where the dead destined for hell are at. And But the idea in paradise is that he said, there's hope for you in my resurrection that's soon coming. Here it is, verse 20. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the what? In the King James today, it says the long-suffering of God. What's long-suffering mean? Patience. I'm going to use the term forbearance. How many of you have ever needed forbearance in your life? Forbearance is just what, I think it was Autumn said it, patience. Patience and help. But notice here, that word long-suffering applies to our God. Now in this case, it doesn't give distinct parameters as far as every situation, but it does give us the parameters of one situation. And that was eight individuals. Noah, his sons, his wife, and their wives. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. I mentioned this before in our junior-senior high Sunday school class before. Do you think there were any scratch marks on the door of the ark? But God gave people many years before that, but he gave specifically, recorded in the Bible, 120 years of Noah's preaching. I don't know that Noah stood before a pulpit or went out and talked to people all the time. I know he did. But what was the biggest preaching that Noah did? It was in his actions, because what did he do? He built a boat. He built a ship, just to keep everyone happy here today. They never had rain before. No need for a boat or a ship. And so therefore Noah was branded as a what? He's a nut job. You know, I don't have the moniker Crazy John for nothing. Or John the Baptist. I fit right in pretty well with all that. But notice here, who was the forbearance given to in this situation? It was given to all the people. But it was only shown specifically in how many? 2 times 4 is 8. Wilton mathematics again. You know, that's something in our culture today. This is rapidly becoming a part of our educational process. 2 plus 2, 4 plus 4 don't equal 4 or 8. They can equal whatever they want to equal. Because you have the right to believe whatever you want to believe. Even if it's not what? The truth. By the way, that's a picture of God's grace. And how we tread on it. But there it is. Out of that whole process, through God's long suffering for many years, but specifically for 120 years, 8 souls. Now, we don't know what the population was at that time, but many people believe that it was quite large. But God's mercy and grace ran out, didn't they, for all but 8. So you're saying, well, John, we can take that to the bank. God wouldn't destroy America as long as there were 8 souls. Don't be foolish. God has a right to do whatever he wants. That's the point of this whole message. But this is a picture of what God has done in the past. But could you imagine America? And only 8 souls. But also take comfort in this, that I still think there's more than 8 people that love the Lord in America. And that's why I say America could go down the path a long way yet. And we'll see that. But I'm not going to tell you that's how it will be, because God can do whatever he pleases, folks. He is Almighty God. He does not operate to please us. And let me also say, from human's perspective, God is not fair, but God is righteous. He doesn't necessarily do it our way. Never forget that. Well, we're back in the Peter section, and we're down to 3 minutes. Is everyone still okay? We don't offer water usually. 2 Peter 3:8 through 10, we're going to stop there for today, but again, we're exploring some of the things that God's done in the past. 2 Peter 3:8 through 10. As you depart today, keep your hand around Peter, because we will continue to look at some of the things he had to say. As you know, I'm a big fan of Peter. I do like Paul. Many people talk about Paul a lot, but I like Peter because Peter was a guy that got down and told it like it was too. And I think he had some enthusiasm in his preaching. Anyway, 2 Peter 3, verses 8 through 10. Now what Peter's talking about here is something known as the Day of the Lord. That's in the way I see it anyway in Scripture. It's all of God's activities as he closes the age. And I believe it goes from the rapture of the church through when we are settled in the new heavens and new earth. It's God's activities as he unwinds the things of this world. But beloved, Peter says, first of all, he sounds like Paul here, don't be ignorant. That word ignorant means uninformed. Do not be uninformed of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. By the way, don't do your mathematics about things based on this either. But it's a euphemism, Peter's saying, God doesn't operate the way we do. And isn't that what he tells us in the book of Isaiah? My ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. But here's the important thing here at night. Well, it's all important. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Meaning what? What God says, he will do. But he'll do it when? In his timing. As some men count slackness. But here that word pops up again. But is? Long-suffering to usward. And here's the kicker here, folks. Never, never say that God wants people to be punished, because the Bible says differently. He's not willing that any should, but that all should turn around, come to repentance. That's a given with God. God's right on time. He loves us. He has compassion. He has grace and mercy toward us. He's not willing that any should perish. That word perish means to go to hell. Eternally die. Eternally perish. But that we should turn around. That is God. By the way, how do people end up in hell? Yep. Now, you know what? Jesus, at the great white throne judgment, he will say to people, depart from me, I never knew you. But the ultimate reason they're going to be put into hell is not because Jesus said so, it's because they desired it. He's long-suffering to all of us yet alive today. Here's the last verse. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. God destroyed the earth the first time for sin by water. The second time he destroys it and culminates its sinful existence and deals in finality with sin, it will be done by fire. We haven't got to Sodom and Gomorrah yet today, but when we do, we're going to find a little taste of how that came down. Because you know what, today we have an idea where Sodom and Gomorrah was. But in my farmer vernacular, there's no evidence left that it ever existed. That is God's judgment. And his grace and mercy, while they are deep, are not without end. We'll come back and revisit this, Lord willing, next time. If not, though, you can go on as well and read about it. But here's my conclusion. 2 minutes late. God's grace yet prevails. But for how long, we what? We do not know. Don't gamble with his grace and mercy regarding our sin and his salvation. My question is, who will stand for him in our current environment? I hope it will be me. I hope it will be you. I ask today as well as we close, who will step out and commit to him this morning? Doesn't mean you have to walk the aisle. But who will? And will we see it? And lastly, are you on a trajectory like Sodom and Gomorrah? Now, we didn't get to them yet this morning. But you know what? God's grace and mercy were directed towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Maybe for all of us here today, it wouldn't hurt, even if we're saved, to consider what trajectory we're on in our lives. I can tell you mine needs to be changed. It needs adjustments. Maybe yours does too. We didn't get there as well, but are you a Lot or a Lot's wife today? You're under Christ's protection, and yet you willingly turn around. Or as Lot did in the beginning, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Lot was a justified man. We'll see that proved out. But the directive in his life was to look towards Sodom. That's the direction he lived. Well, here's my last comment. And I do mean this. I beg you. But most importantly, the Lord begs us. You heard it there in 2 Peter. Get right and keep right today. That's what God's begging us to do. I've said enough. We're 4 minutes late. Let's take our hymnals, or it's on the screen, and let's stand. Today's a good day, and this is a good time to get things set straight with the Lord. Number 310 in our hymnals, Whiter Than Snow. Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have your sins been made white as snow? This is a good day to get things set straight with the Lord Jesus. It's a good day to trust Him today and to have your sins covered and be saved. To know again that His grace and mercy will not end as you live with Him in heaven and in the days to come for all eternity. Jesus is waiting today and He's begging. When's the last time someone begged you? When's the last time you begged someone? Jesus wants you today, and He wants us right. By the way, I stand up here every Sunday, but there's a reason why I do. No, it's not because I'm waiting for you. Why is it? Because I need to be here. Maybe some of you do as well. It never hurts to publicly step out for a Savior who publicly stepped out for us. May God work in your life today as we sing this hymn. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want Thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Don't leave today unless the blood of Christ has cleansed us from every sin. Thank you today for your good attention. May God be working today as we leave from this presence in this building. Doug Chatfield, I'm going to ask you to close our service today in prayer. I'll look forward to greeting you at the back door. Appreciate it.